Now, is this look comfortable for you or uncomfortable?
You dress for the job you want.
So you want to be a youth pastor?
Hi. Wow, I thought that joke was surprisingly sharp. These are Patrick's clothes, so you might want to tell that to my fiance's face.
This week's episode takes to the skies as Stevie and David compete for a job at a new airline. Johnny struggles to secure financing for his motel enterprise plans, and Alexis finds a creative way to feel closer to Ted. So fasten your seatbelts and raise your tray tables as we take off for Season 6, Episode 3, The Job Interview.
All right, all right, all right. In the words of Matthew McConaughey, all right, all right, all right.
Welcome back.
Welcome. We are into Episode 3 of Season 6, and we were commenting earlier today how fast and crazy it's all going.
It really Stephanie. Is. Katie, I was getting emotional. I texted you earlier today. Oh. I've been writing. I write like all of our episode summaries that we read at the beginning of each episode as like our little intro. And I like wrote them all for the remainder of Season 6. And I was like almost tearing up at just the thought of like, we're getting so close to the end.
It really
is. Maybe emotional.
Yeah, I responded late to that. I was mid mental health nap when you sent that, and I was like, okay. But yeah, it's coming. So not a ton of news, but I want to know, since this is the wedding planning season, what wedding updates do you have for us, Stephanie?
Katie, I've been sitting on wedding updates. I was like, I could tell her earlier, or I could get you.
I'm glad you didn't.
So. The biggest news is we have a date and we have a venue.
Tell me.
So it was the place we went to last week.
Okay, that I think you loved it. Then.
I teased for you. We loved it. It's in Kentucky, just like not even like a mile or two south of the river, but it is up on this hill. It's this old historic home. It's actually, you will love this. It's the original home of one of the most famous like brewing families in the area, and their brewery has been like resurrected and is now owned by a different family, but it's been around. This beer, it's called Wiedemann beer. It's been around for like over 100 years, and this was the house that the original founder of that brewery that's such a hard word for me to say, built.
Brewery.
So it's this beautiful old home, historic home. It has a like forested landscape, but like a picture perfect view looking kind of northwest towards the skyline of Cincinnati.
Okay.
And the sun sets behind the skyline.
Oh, imagine the pictures.
And they've got like a beautiful outdoor ceremony option as well as an indoor ceremony option if weather doesn't permit. But it's just like the perfect all-inclusive venue. We get full access of the whole home. There's dressing rooms, there's like lovely interiors, and Susha and I are such big like historic home and museum nerds that this is just like right
this
up our
sounds
alley.
Like the perfect place.
And like it was the first place we looked at, and you know, we didn't want to jump the gun, but you know, we kind of talked, we were there for a while. We talked with the owner, who is also the event coordinator, who's just like a lovely man. He and his partner have been working here, and now they've been able to like actually buy the home. So they own the property and they have
full
control over how they manage their events. And
so probably totally flexible.
They have like some historic home rules, but they definitely are willing to like work with you, which is great. And it was just so cool to talk to them about our ideas. And we didn't want to jump the gun, but we kind of looked at dates, and you know, he said, no pressure, you know, what's your timeline? And we're like, yeah, we'll take like the week to think about it. And we're kind of looking at a few other places, but I just could not stop thinking about this place.
Well, it's just like a person when you know it's
exactly.
The one. It's the one. Or
and
the
on
dress,
Sunday,
eventually.
I think I just went up to Susha and I'm like, Susha, can we please get married here? I can't stop thinking about it. And it like worked in our budget and it just felt so right. And he's like, yeah, we can do that. Like there's no red flags at all. Not even like a beige flag.
Yay.
It's just like,
oh my God.
So we have a venue, and Katie, that means we also have a date. The date is May the 4th, 2024, which
May
is Star
the 4th
Wars Day.
With you. Oh my God.
Which like what is just funny to us. Like we're not huge, crazy Star Wars people. Like
but
we
it's
like
hilarious.
Star Wars, but it's hilarious. It also means that we can have a day after brunch on Cinco de Mayo to send people off.
Taco brunch.
So, and it worked well with my teaching schedule. Stephanie, like between semesters.
You are
so like,
brushing. I was looking at my calendar. You are brushing the border of that Italy trip, but it's not. Gosh. I will be there.
When is Italy?
We leave on the 8th.
Okay. So you've got time to go home, turn around, pack. Yeah,
basically, just okay. I might as well just take the whole month of May off. I think
maybe
I'll just do
that. It's a sign. So yeah, we have a date and a venue and like a lot of other things that come with the venue too. Like they do all of the linens and tables and they have sound systems set up. And
it sounds like
the bar XYZ.
Low stress.
Yes.
Low stress, right?
Yes, totally.
Okay, so. It's on my calendar. Steph's wedding.
All right.
Assuming I'm invited. How many guests can this place fit?
It'll be a smaller affair. It'll be like 60 to 75 is their max capacity. Okay. So it's a little smaller, but we've got a nice tight list of people who are.
Can I bring Joe?
Can he bring a folding chair? No, I'm just kidding.
He can bring a camp chair.
You guys are absolutely top tier on the calendar. List,
so, oh my God. Yeah. I'm so excited now. I'm so glad you saved that for this.
I know. I was like, I just want to capture her reaction.
I almost asked midweek.
And I had to keep this a secret for like 5 days, which
I almost
really
texted
hard.
Just to be like, oh, how was the wedding venue? But I was like, oh no, I guess she would have told me if there was anything exciting.
Yeah. Just my impulse to tell you.
Well,
I had
that
to
is
sit on it.
Great news. So you're ahead of David in the game at this point. Because
we are.
He doesn't have a venue yet.
Well,
Patrick
kind of hinted
the idea.
Like maybe at the, but that's all
okay.
We know. You're right.
All right.
So I'm a little bit ahead of David
for
now.
Good job. Proud of you. That's a really, what did you tell your mom? Was she really excited?
Oh yeah. Yep. She's on board. She already has secured like Airbnbs for the family. She's like,
I better get on my game.
Yeah.
Well, I won't need
to. He was actually like chomping at the bit to do that.
Family. Yeah.
So she.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, congratulations to you on that decision.
Thank you.
This is obviously we'll be checking in all season on this wedding adventure.
I love these weekly updates. Yeah.
Yes. Schitt's Creek related then, since that's what we're here for.
Let's pivot.
pivot from that very exciting news. Not a ton of news out there, but the one thing you did send me that Dan Levy was participating in that auction. It's a celebrity auction to, I think, kind of benefit and raise money for striking writers and health benefits.
Just everyone
and things
in
like that.
The entertainment industry. Yeah.
Yeah. So
affected.
There's a lot of, not anyone super, super famous. I think Dan Levy is probably one of the more famous options on there, but just raising a lot of money. As of today, I think it ends tomorrow. And as of a few minutes ago, that bidding, it's like a 30-minute Zoom chat with him about TV, writing for television you could bid on. And when you first sent it to me, I had these lofty ideas of crowdfunding to get him to talk
to us.
That's
our finale episode.
And then, like, when you sent it to me, the bidding was at $1,000. And literally 10 hours later, it was double that. And today, it's somebody will be paying $7,900 if they win to speak with Dan Levy for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So who knows what it'll be at tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the highest bidded item. The highest bidded item I saw today was at $12,000. And that was a lunch with, I don't know the actor's name. He plays Saul Goodman in Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Oh, yes.
Him and another gentleman who I don't recognize.
Bob
two
Odenkirk.
Of the two of them. Yes. Yeah. Who is he? Do you know who he is?
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk.
What's he from?
He's just a comedian. I've seen him in a lot of different things, smaller roles. Yeah.
All right. I really recognize Saul Goodman because I watch Breaking Bad. So, but that was up to $12,000. I think that was the highest bidded.
Okay.
So
wow.
That's a good cause. If we could afford any of that, that'd be great. Right. But kudos to the people who get those things.
Totally.
That's fun. My lofty idea was smushed when it got up to, you know, I was like, we have 200 fans. If everyone spends us $10.
And is there a limit to how many people are in this Zoom call? Could we just send everyone
just
a link?
Maximize
200 people talking to Dan for 30 minutes.
So that was really the only newsworthy thing. What did you have for polls and participation this week?
Yeah, we got a couple polls out there this week. I wanted to know in regards to Patrick and David learning kind of each other's deep, dark secrets in regards to like nighttime behaviors.
Secrets, right.
Secrets. And
your recesses at all.
Yeah. And like mouth guards and things of that nature. Yes. So I wanted to know if you and your partner share all your secrets, or do you like a little bit of mystery? And the results were, the top result was, you know, with some things I'm open, but a little mystery is good. That was 58%. And then it was tied for second place. Our other two options were Honey Pee, we are open books, got 21%, as did you, let's not and say we did, which also got 21%. So most people are saying most things I tell, but there maybe are a couple things, like you said, that maybe you don't need to tell your partner every little detail. And then we put out a poll yesterday that I'm pleased to say we did actually get some feedback in. And I wanted to know, you know, we did I did my research last week about nocturnal enuresis. And the data says that over 5 million American adults suffer with some form of enuresis. And I just wanted to see if anyone was willing to weigh in, because we shared our truths last week. And we actually did get a couple people who chimed in. I won't read any names out of respect for privacy and bravery for sharing. But one person said that they don't have nighttime issues, but if they cough, that's a thing. And that is definitely, I know a lot of women.
That's a woman thing. That comes down to like
pelvic floor, especially women who maybe have had children and given like birth vaginally, like that can become a chronic issue. We also had someone chime in and say they have an ileostomy bag, which, Katie, do you know what that is?
No.
So an ileostomy is where it's often like part of your colon, or sometimes your entire colon might be removed for reasons that could be like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. And basically, instead of your normal bowel movements going where they normally go, it goes into a bag that's like surgically attached to you.
So I'm like giggling, not out of disrespect. I'm giggling because I've heard of colostomy bag, and I think we all have because of David's pants in season one. Colostomy bag pants.
Yeah. So that's colostomy. And then this is ileostomy, which I believe is different. But they just mentioned that with that sort of, I guess, lifestyle or circumstance, like there can be some unfortunate leaks that you have to be able to maintain, which I actually found out my grandpa, when he was in his like end of life, he for a period of time had an ileostomy, but I think he might have also had like colon cancer or something.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah. Thank you for those of you who shared.
Isn't that wild, though, that they can do that? Just like reroute your intestines?
It's absolutely crazy. It's just, absolutely amazing.
Medicine is amazing. I mean,
I even had my...
It's obviously not that glamorous, but that's incredible that they can do that.
Someone in my family, when they were young, they had a feeding tube in their stomach as a baby. And we would feed them directly through a tube in their belly. Insane. Into their stomach.
Just insane. Yeah.
It is crazy. So anyways, thank you for those who chimed in. Yep.
Thank you for participating in that.
I have my passport. I took my shoes off.
You're ready to get on
sharp knives. I am ready to get on board for tonight's episode.
You got your liquids and your 3-1-1.
I do.
3 ounces, one plastic bag, one per person, right? Is that what it is?
Something like that. They don't even check those anymore, which is kind of annoying. Like, they used to make you take it out of your bag, and now it's like, tell you to keep everything in there, which is
fine.
Guess
what? If you got pre-check, they don't check that anyway. Pre-check. How'd you know where I was going with that? How'd you know where I was going with that?
How did I not?
All right. Well, I guess we're ready to get on board here. So we don't start right away with the airline. We are back in the motel this week. And just as an initial kickoff, this season, Seth is full of such... We already talked about how it doesn't move anywhere or it doesn't really go a lot of places because they're just tying everything up. Mm-hmm. But damn, there is some great comedy writing in this season.
This episode's pretty jam-packed, if I say so myself.
Yes, yeah. I'm finding myself laughing a lot this season. So good stuff. including this opening scene, no exception. Alexis is in her stereotypical jammies and looking extra dolled up. She's got her little slippers on and her pink satin robe. And we realize she's about to get on a Skype date with Ted. And we know for sure it's Skype because, listen, if you're watching with the closed captioning, it says Skype chimes.
Skype, okay.
As the Skype rings.
You know, Skype, so, I don't think could keep up during COVID. I think
it's a bygone. It's gone, right?
They fell into obscurity.
Yep.
And Zoom and WebEx took over.
Mm-hmm. And people just have FaceTime on their phone now. So there's really no need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're an Apple user, at least there's really no need for that extra separate app. We used to use Skype for wedding meetups when we couldn't meet in person.
Yeah. And that felt really like, I remember that seemed so like futuristic.
I felt on the edge of the future when I was using that. And now it's like, people don't even know what Skype is.
Yeah, no.
What? Yeah. I definitely thought I was very cool. I remember even telling my mom about that, Skyping with a bride and groom in California, and she was like, just amazed. Wow, I can't believe you can do that. Man, if she could see the world now, look at us.
Or we Zoom all of our podcast recordings.
We do a podcast together, and we're 500 miles apart.
Yeah.
For however many miles that is. So. Anyway, Skype is long gone, but when it was still around when this was written.
Yeah.
So up pops Ted and he's looking extra sweaty in this shot.
Definitely getting some sun as
like
well.
Like a muscle tank on and he's his beard is growing out. This is kind of the first look just that we get at Dustin Mulligan's new insanely huge teeth. And they don't look super huge in this shot.
So this wasn't me. He did get new teeth.
Okay. There's a lot of conflicting information out on the internet.
Break it
down. So we will see it much more noticeably later in the season.
Well, that's when I notice it is later.
Yeah. But this time I could kind of tell things were a little bit different. And so there's conflicting rumors. I've heard rumors that Dustin Mulligan struggled with an eating disorder, bulimia, hence the purging, like, you know, the acid eats away at your teeth. But then when I went to research this for this episode, I couldn't find anything about that. But I did see some kind of he posted on Instagram quite a while back, like in 2018, about how he had some terrible reaction to marijuana use and he threw up consistently for over a few days. But that somebody commented, this was in Reddit, so super scientific, researchy place, guys. Someone commented, well, that would be one thing, but when you have bulimia, it's like a lifetime of, it's the consistency of doing it for weeks and weeks and weeks, not just one intense time like that. So, and then someone else just commented, he just got veneers, like he just wanted to do it. It was just a cosmetic reason. So if anyone out there knows the real reason, not that, I mean, if that's what he wanted to do, whatever.
Yeah.
But if there was like a medical reason behind it or whatever, if you have any like solid concrete information, that would be great.
Yeah.
And lots of conflicting stuff out there.
You know, you do you. I think anyone who wants to like change anything about their body for like whatever their reasons are, as long as it's not like,
I think he also lost. It was jarring, though. It is more jarring.
It's just
later
it was noticeable. And I didn't realize that that was what I was trying to figure out was different. But now that you say
I think a lot of people say that, too. They're like, why? And I knew something was different, but didn't quite know what it was. They're super white, too, which is really nice. Who doesn't love white teeth? So anyway, in this shot, you can kind of see a glimpse of it. And his facial hair kind of hides it, too. Yeah. But anyway, Ted has been growing out his facial hair. He's been getting some sun. He's also been working out, bench pressing 100-pound tortoises. And
as
Alexis,
you do.
As you do when you're in the Galapagos, of course. And Alexis says, ooh, don't make me jealous of tortoises. I wish basically you were bench pressing me. And Ted's still on track with his pun game. He has to tell you. He has to tell her that he's been thinking about her a lot, especially at night. And things start to get racy. And right on cue, as Alexis is undoing her little collar, David barges in. And this just brings me right back to the scene when everyone barges in on David and Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Alexis says, not much. And back when Jake was in the room, I thought we agreed when nobody was home. Well, clearly, I don't know if home includes mom and dad's room, but Moira and Johnny were in the next room over.
They are definitely there. Yeah.
And David wasn't, but I feel like these kids should obviously have some kind of a sock on the door signal by now. They've been there for 3 years or whatever.
Right, you would think.
Of course, icing on the cake, Johnny walks in right after this and declares he's taking the car for the day if anybody needs it. And David, in one of my best lines, oh, you're just in time. Alexis and Ted were just engaging in cyber sex.
Cyber sex.
He enunciates cyber sex. And Alexis is mortified. Mm-hmm. Moira, of course, has to follow in. And she says, what have I told you? Never, never put your body on the internet without proper lighting.
Without proper lighting, of course.
That's what she's worried about. And that also reminds me of her nudes episode. Doesn't she say something about that?
She tells Stevie, take a million naked pictures of yourself now.
I think she also says something about lighting. And she's like, fiddling with the curtains and stuff, but she's looking for her furry Fendies. She has nothing to do with this cyber sex. Ted is, of course, being his polite self. Hi, Mrs. Rose. And Alexis says, no, we're not engaging with them. Just ignore they're here. I just love this scene. Like, so much chaos. And finally, she kicks, everyone get out so I can finish off with Ted. And David just, David loves it. Sick. Johnny is just kind of embarrassed by the whole situation. So that's just the chaotic opening scene. Cracks me up. We are going to start, let's see, we're going to start with Stevie and David today, though, before we'll come back to Alexis and her hot Ted date. So next we see the exterior of Stevie's apartment, and she has summoned David over for an emergency. An emergency so important that he had time to stop for coffee and get a breakfast burrito to go. So she needs help picking out an outfit for a job interview. Again, she's looking towards her fashionista bestie to give her some advice, right? So we quickly find out that Larriere has an open call interview day going on, and David perks right up at this, and he says, oh, I was once told that I would be a good flight attendant. Their personal flight hostess, Sandy, told him that. And you know, she wasn't just kissing up to her employer's kids.
Yeah, not at all. No.
And in what world? She once let, again, a Branzino comes up, we of course know is a fish. He said that she once let him debone a Branzino during turbulence.
During turbulence, yeah.
So Stevie says, okay, well, help me pick out an outfit. And if you think you're so fit for the job, why don't you come too, basically? If Sandy says you'll be a good flight attendant, then come along, whatever.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate Larriere as a
Larriere
airline name?
The fact that it rhymes with Derriere.
Among other things.
Among mother things.
Other things.
So he's also, he also found the pamphlet that she found for the open call interviews, and he's reading about their new amenities like tray tables at every seat, not just in first class, which I guess every flight has tray tables, right?
Technically,
yes.
I sent you the photo. We took an Allegiant flight with like a tray table the size of a USB computer keyboard,
like a 6-inch whatever.
The man next to us brought a like pizza box thinking he would have room to spread out.
I wanted to talk about that. We'll get into like all those like airline amenities, discounting airlines amenities in a minute, but I just had to think about that for a second. If I have ever been on a flight that had a tray table,
like literally we flipped it down and we laughed. Like it was that small.
Of course.
Might as well give me nothing.
Also, there's no, like you said, the guy couldn't even fit a pizza box. So, and not that who brings a whole pizza on the airplane? But
exactly.
Okay. So David picks out pretty much what Stevie wears every day, pants and a plaid shirt. And they kind of agree to this friendly competition to see if David can land the job too while she's at it. Why don't you come along? Let's compete. Let's do this, you know? I have to say, this is one of my least favorite David storylines of the entire show.
Yeah, it's just like he has to go along and have some purpose. Like, he's clearly not interested in this job. It's more just like he wants to prove that he could. And he's just like razzing Stevie a little bit.
He's not being a nice friend. He's not being supportive.
Remember when she drove him to the blouse barn?
And
sat in the car while he worked the sales floor.
And it's one thing, like, I know they push each other's buttons. That's kind of their thing. But he's really pushing it in this episode. So not my favorite. As they walk in to Larry Ayer, Stevie says something. She's mocking his dress clothes that he has on. Mm-hmm. And
I love this.
David, you know, gives the adage, dress for the job you want, you know. And she said, so you want to be a youth pastor?
Which is our episode title.
He does have a very youth pastor-y vibe. But you know, just by looking at him, that he did not get these clothes from his own closet.
No.
And he clearly... and says, well, you might want to tell that to Patrick because these are his clothes. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing these fit David. Like, I feel like he's quite a bit taller than Patrick.
A little bit taller.
These pants have to go up to his
knees. Like flooding a little bit.
Floodwaters.
Isn't it kind of funny how like those clothes seem totally normal on Patrick? Like, you wouldn't blink twice. But on someone David? Who dresses eccentric when you see them in like quote unquote normal clothes. And I have students like this too, where like I can't for the life of me picture them wearing like quote unquote basic or normal clothes because they're just so naturally eccentric, you know?
I kind of have that vibe too. Like at work, we're super casual. Like I wear leggings or jeans and a t-shirt most days.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I'll be in a mood to dress up. I got something new. Not like a dress, but just nicer pants or
does
a nicer
it garner attention.
And then, and then it's like, oh, where are you going? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, I just thought I'd look nice, but I guess why do I even bother? So you're right, though. This definitely looks out of place for David. Mm-hmm. Not his comfort couture, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
So they head in. Carol, we'll soon find her name is Carol, calls everyone and says, hey, we're ready to get started here and let's go. And David pushes his way to the front of the pack. Just he's kind of ick in this episode.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't think this is really something Stevie's taking seriously, or he loses sight of what she's trying to do because he's being such a competitive bee.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, let's just jump into like shitty airlines, right? Because it's very clear right away that this is one of those shitty airlines.
Totally.
So you just recently, when you went to New Orleans, you flew on Allegiant, right?
We flew Allegiant.
So
yes.
To me, this is where the guy had the pizza.
Yes.
To me, Allegiant isn't bottom of the barrel. Do you think?
No, it's not. There's one that, like, I refuse to fly.
Spirit?
And that is Spirit or Frontier. I will never fly
Frontier.
Okay, so
I think Spirit is bottom of the barrel. I think then Frontier, if we're rating airlines, I think then Frontier. You won't fly Frontier?
No.
I will not ever again. We have, but the last time was a terrible experience with a canceled flight and we will never do it again.
I will not fly Frontier. I'm even now iffy about Allegiant because often they have so many blackout windows of like days that there's no flight. So if anything happens or there's a delay, like you could be screwed. So
Allegiant, I think, is like third from the bottom in my professional opinion.
That's fair. Yes.
We flew them once to Boston, but we had no problems. But I get you with those smaller airlines. It's one set.
It's a gamble.
Yeah. And then I feel like the big... So like Delta's primo to me. Mm-hmm. Delta's number one. We fly Delta anytime we can. United Airlines.
Same. We've actually thought about, so with wedding expenses, we've thought about getting like one of the big things people recommend is like, as long as you're in control of your finances, is considering getting a credit card that maybe gives you like airline points or miles or just has a good reward system that you will obviously pay off as you make these purchases, but
people
could like pay for their honeymoon or their plane tickets for their honeymoon.
I highly recommend a point.
It's all these inevitable purchases. So that's something we look into. And we definitely like to fly Delta. We get points and miles on Delta already.
So we have the Delta American Express card and we are rocking that shit. And
because we're still on the market. We're still deciding.
Yeah. I mean, Joe's the better salesperson. He knows all the deeds. He handles all that stuff. So if you want a sales pitch for them,
Yeah, I'll speak to
also,
your consultant.
I think he can invite you and get us both like a bonus point.
Let's do it. Too. Let's do it.
So, but yes, he was just looking at Point City. He said, you have 89,000 points. And I was like, is that a lot? He's like, yeah, that's a lot. But, yeah. You know, we did do like last year was a big year for travel for us. We travel a lot, but not like we did last year.
So I have a genuine question about how points and miles work, because they say you have so many miles, but then that transfers to a dollar value, obviously, to buy airline tickets. Mm-hmm. Are the miles accrued based on how many miles you fly or how much you pay for tickets?
Both. And purchases, any purchases you make on that card. Right. So when we put our new windows in, that shit's going on the Delta card, 10,000 mm-hmm. points. You know, when we mm-hmm. paid for our new furnace and AC, that went on the Delta card, another 10,000 points. Any okay. big purchase we put on there. Even if we have the cash, we put it on the credit card first and then right. pay it off.
Why not get the rewards? Exactly. Yes, that's what they're saying.
Absolutely. Like, so we're big fans of Delta. That's primo. Mm-hmm. United Airlines, I feel like it's another, like, mm-hmm. just below Delta. I haven't flown them in years, but we used to.
Yeah, I used to. United, American
Is Airlines. American around? American Airlines
it
is still
is,
around, right?
Yeah.
Southwest is kind of middle of the... It's a discounty airline, but has
it
amazing
used to be discounty.
Amazing customer service, and people love the experience with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, so and they like also right. like that there's no assigned seating, which is nice for families. Mm,
yeah. So we're not flying Spirit. We're not flying Frontier.
No. Some Allegiant. Bougie airlines I think of would be like Emirates Airlines.
Oh,
the ones
yeah.
that have like the sleeping pods.
Did I tell you about the flight attendants we saw?
Did you fly on Emirates?
In Spain, no. Oh. But when we had a layover, an overnight layover in Spain, we stayed at the airport hotel. Mm-hmm. Their flight attendants are beautiful. And they wear they're all these beautiful Arabic looking women, and they wear these beautiful, they're not full covered headdress, they're mm-hmm. just these old school round flight attendant hats.
Yeah, the little pillbox
swoopy thing on their, and I was like, damn, these women are so pretty. I want to join their club. But we had to Google what they were flying for Emirates. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
We Googled different flight attendant uniforms. So we have really ventured off here, but I kind of knew this would be like a good
yeah
this would be a big discussion
and
topic,
I'm curious but. Internationally because we do have an international audience, like
yeah
what are some airlines, maybe
British Airways, I think, and Crystal and Dan fly on British Airways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously Alaskan Air, I feel like, bills itself as kind of a discount airline, but it's nicer and it's mm-hmm. more out west. Yeah. Hawaiian Airlines, who doesn't mm-hmm. love Hawaiian Airlines? We've flown on Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Lots of Air France is a Delta partner. We flew back from Paris mm-hmm. on Air France. Lots of fun stuff. Yeah. Who are your favorite airlines? It's got to be a topic. I need totally. To know these things. So anyway, that was a big segue. I knew it would be, though. Larry Air
educational, though. Yeah.
Larry Air is below Spirit, right?
Yeah,
where
totally.
We quickly find out below Spirit.
Totally.
So they're in this group interview, and what a cringy situation, first of all. Who
Open
hosts
call interviews? Unless
this is
it's
not
like,
what this is.
This is not like a Burger King, you know. This is a
you don't ask personal questions. Like, what's your biggest weakness? You have to say that in front of the whole crew. Before she starts that, though, she says, if anyone's very involved in the class action lawsuit, you need to leave. You're not qualified
and
for
like
this
half
job.
The people leave.
Yeah, it's not a huge red flag. You want to work for someone with a class action lawsuit against them. But
no, thank you.
I love the air posters in the back. Did you read what they said? There's one that says, see the air, fly into your future.
Yeah,
get your fly on. Like, so I got this big promotional.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked for biggest weaknesses, starting with Stevie. And what an awkward situation. David, being a total jerk, keeps interrupting and confirming. She says, I'm indecisive. Oh, that's true. I'm disorganized. Oh, definitely. Shut up, David. And Carol is picking up on that cue, too. She goes, okay, we just needed one. You don't need to keep going, Stevie, who's clearly nervous. Mm-hmm. She moves on to David next, and he pulls the old spin something good into a weakness, mm-hmm. which is a job interview technic. Would we yeah. consider loyalty a weakness? Otherwise, I would just say honesty. She says, I'm just going to put down chatty.
Chatty. That's you're more done. On the money. You're yeah.
done. So then later during the open interview, we're on to role playing at Larry Ayer. David has probably volunteered.
Probably.
And
he's
Carol,
being kind of a teacher's pet yeah. right now.
Carol, the customer, says, I have this baby will not stop crying behind me. And David says, I know. I have shushed them thrice. We hear thrice again.
One more thrice. One more for the yep. road.
And he offers her a couple of options. I can move them to the back of the plane or give you a complimentary drink. I'll take the drink, please.
Yeah.
Right? What would you? Would you rather I would have too. The baby move? Or
no, I think I would go for the drink.
What if this was like an 8-hour long flight?
I guess I would almost rather...
And this baby was just, see, it wouldn't stop.
Crying babies.
This is a tough one.
I am less bothered by crying babies than I am uncontrolled children. Like,
yeah, well, okay. Crying, there's an age limit, right?
Yeah. I sympathize for parents who are like traveling with infants and I know it's hard for them. But when it's like, I've been seated in front of a child who was like kicking in the back of my seat and the parents were just like, coddling the child,
acting like nothing was happening.
The child was the boss in that family, and I was just like, hello, like, you gonna do something about yeah. your kid? But if it's a baby, like, I'm not as bothered.
An infant, right? Yes. Yeah. They don't know what the hell is going on. Okay.
Like, why am I in the sky?
what is happening? Why am I in this tin can in the air? So okay, I that's a tough choice. If it was complimentary the whole flight, I'd be taking the alcohol. But if it was just one drink, I don't know if that would get me through an 8-hour flight with a screaming kid behind me.
Yeah.
But Carol says that's a great example of, and David says thanks, of what not to do. And two touchstone policies at Larry Ayer are no seat changes and the word complimentary does not exist.
Not in their corporate vocabulary.
On those budget airlines, complimentary does not exist. You are paying for every snack, every yes. crumb of a snack, right? Frontier, Allegiant, Spirit. If you want something, it is bust out that credit card, right?
Some places now you have to pay even for a carry-on. You just get a personal item. Just crazy.
Wild. That's just wild. So after this role play situation, moving on to the final round, America's Got Talent style, mm-hmm. she asks... people to stand up, and she calls four names, and David's name is one of them. And it cracked me up when I was watching this back. When she called his name, he goes, fuck yes, just out of excitement, which I didn't catch the first time around.
So competitive.
And you are not moving on. He sits back down. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said David Rose. I did. And Stevie with the zinger. Too bad they didn't have a Branzino to debone. You probably would have gotten the job. So obviously this didn't go well for David. He's not as cool as he thinks he is. And to be fair, of the two of them, Stevie has way more customer service experience than he does. I know he's got his own store now, but this is new for him.
Well, you know, working, what also occurred to me?
Working for a living is new for him.
He has not been on an airplane since they moved to Schitt's Creek.
And they had their own plane.
And so he doesn't understand commercial airlines whatsoever. Like, that
well,
was not
even
his...
think a couple episodes ago when Alexis thought she was going to be getting slippers and mimosas when she got on her plane.
That's not part of his
neither
culture.
Neither one of them understands this industry whatsoever.
No.
So... he says, well, some of us rode here together. It would be better if, like, some of us just stayed. And Carol says, some of us can just wait in the hall. Because obviously Stevie drove here.
Yes.
And he's taking the damn peanuts on his way out. The free peanuts. You can't.
Taking the peanuts, Carol.
You can't even have peanuts on a plane now because peanut allergies are so bad, right? Mm-hmm. Even if they're in the recycled air.
Yeah.
We're getting long on this segment, but I want to also talk flight attendants. Mm-hmm. Steph, could you ever do this job?
I had fantasies of being a flight attendant.
I mean, doesn't everybody at some point in their life?
But no, like, I could see myself enjoying, I like the decorum and like the the idea of like getting suited up and like the uniforms. I like the, you know, like the routine of it all, getting to travel. But then also the underlying tone of you are responsible for 200 lives. If something happens, like
that's
the
scary.
Adrenaline that could maybe come with that.
You like that or you don't like that?
I find it appealing. Yeah. Mm. Just
I don't want to be responsible for
anyone. The stakes are low, but like in the event, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. In the event, though, the stakes are very high.
You turn into Wonder Woman. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My biggest thing is there are so many stories now, TikToks and viral videos of people behaving badly.
Oh, yeah.
Disrespecting people. Mm-hmm. I can watch these TikToks for hours. They get me so fired up. But I love, my wish is that there is a, if you behave bad, like, no, if you behave badly on a plane towards mm-hmm. anybody working on that plane, I want a no-fly list. I want a one-strike rule. Mm-hmm. And bitch, have fun driving everywhere you go, because totally. I personally hate a long car ride when I'm trying to get somewhere. If it's mm-hmm. if it's my vacation, fine, a road trip.
Have you seen that recent video of the woman who basically walks herself off the plane as she's screaming that there's a person who was sitting next to her who was not human, and she's like freaking
yes,
out.
I just watched that like yesterday or last night.
Yeah. Like what was the context where she thought they were like,
I only
AI
saw it
or
when
something.
She was, yeah, I only saw it when she was finally screaming about that is not real. That is not real. And yeah. She was trying to get off. I saw another story recently where this lady ignored rules about seatbelts while they were taxiing and pushed, like just walked her way all the way to the front of the plane. And apparently one of the flight attendants said something to the pilot. So he comes out and he asks her to step back. He makes this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest on the plane. I just need to get to her seat. Asks this lady to step back until she was in her seat, and then totally calls her out and says, to the most important person on the plane in 42C who thinks she has to get off in front of everybody, welcome aboard, and totally embarrassed her in front of the whole plane, and everybody loved it.
Love that.
I can't. And then the other one last story I want to talk about is this recent one that was in the news that would literally have me dying.
I know exactly.
You know what it
is. Biohazard.
The plane had to turn around for a biohazard because someone shit. They had diarrhea. They didn't make it to the bathroom. There was literal feces in the plane up and down the aisle. Stephanie, when I tell you this would be one of my worst nightmares to be on this plane, I am not exaggerating. I would be sick.
I can't imagine that people weren't vomiting. Maybe that
I would be vomiting.
Yeah.
There's no possible way I could hold my shit together in that situation.
Yeah.
And people on the plane were saying they were on their way to Spain, I think an hour and a half, 2 hours into the flight. And people on the plane said he made the right choice to turn around.
Yes, it was
how
that
bad would it, like, also mortifying for the person. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And you can't, obviously, if that's an emergency, that shit happened, literally. Mm-hmm. But man, I would die if I was on that flight.
Yeah. I think as a precaution, everyone who has even like a whisper of IBS should take Imodium
right?
Before they get out of plane.
Just do it.
Just in case.
Just do it. You might be constipated for a week, but just do it for the sake of
worth
everybody.
It. Yeah.
Especially yourself. So
yeah.
Anyway, back on track.
Yeah.
The interview's over. Stevie and David head back to her apartment, and he is bitter. He mm-hmm. does not
sore
like
loser.
Yeah, he is being such a sore loser. He helps himself to a glass of wine, and she said, just admit it, I'm more qualified than you. And he says, well, do you really want to work for a company that doesn't know what they're doing? And he's really trying to rain mm-hmm. on her parade.
That again, wasn't the question, David.
just a terrible friend here in this situation. And he's once again, reading the pamphlet and mocking mm-hmm. them. And, mm-hmm. oh, look at, they have completely private new toilets. Why do we have to stress the private part? Fair question. Mm-hmm. But she says, you know, I'm so embarrassed for you. You're behaving like a child. Get out. Like, tries to kick him out. And he mm-hmm. says no. And he takes a swig from the bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I think we also need to just acknowledge, like, why Stevie went out this week and did this was leading out of last week where she tells Johnny, like, I'm not sure I'm ready to commit to mm-hmm. expanding into a franchise or an empire. And she just needed to see what was out there. So she's literally like, good on her for like, she said that's what she wanted to do. And she's actually
now she's doing it.
She's actually trying. Yeah. She didn't
waste
any time.
Well, he said too, David, I want to think too, David might be a little scared of losing her. Do you know what I mean? Because when she first mentioned she was going to,
You'll get to see the Larry Ayer thing.
He said, does this mean you're leaving the motel then in the opening scene with these two? So maybe his actions are a little founded in fear that now his friend's going to be leaving. So he's trying to make it seem less glamorous and just talk her down, you know? So I'll give him that benefit of the doubt, but, that's kind of where it ends. That's a little short story that we made extra, extra long.
We did.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and see where everyone else is.
Sounds good. As our world opens back up for safe travel, it can be overwhelming to find the best flight deals, which is why we're excited to share this week's sponsor. It's none other than Larry Air. Air Travel's newest and most eager airline service is kicking to the skies with the bravest and thriftiest of passengers. With deals so rare, why not save your dollars for the casino and souvenir kiosks? And book with Larry Air's recently purchased fleet of secondhand planes, which carry only the essentials, keeping the prices down and your spirits up. Choose from one of their many accommodating ticketing options, like their self-storage cargo loading and unloading tickets, ideal for the leaner budget, or treat yourself with a tray table and bathroom pass upgrade. Now offering international flights to Windsor, Hoboken, and somewhere in South Dakota, there's no better time to fly into your future. And let Larry Air take you there. Mention this podcast to receive a complimentary sick bag with your next flight booking. So if you're ready to get your fly on, it's time to get your derriere on Larry Air.
All right, we are back, ladies and germs. Speaking of germs, speaking of airline credit cards, 70, you know that Larry Air denied me an airline credit card.
Oh, no.
He said I didn't have enough assets to give me credit. I think my house is worth more than one of their planes.
I imagine those are high risk credit cards, probably really steep APR.
You think? Yeah, they probably are. They probably come with an annual fee and stuff.
They have
too.
To pay for all those lawsuits somehow.
They sure somehow. Yep. Yeah. So I guess I missed a bacon wrapped bullet.
Womp womp.
I dodged a bullet. So, all right. Next, we're going to see what Alexis is doing. Now, we know she was Skyping with Ted last time we saw her finishing off with Ted. The next time we see her, she is hauling into the motel an aquarium and a bunch of grocery bags. And you can see briefly there is a turtle in this aquarium as she's lugging it in the door. My first question is, where the hell did she get this thing? Because Johnny already has the car, as we know. He came in to announce he took the car. Is there a pet store we don't know of? I mean, or did she buy this on Craigslist?
Vet is still there.
But who's running the business?
What was his assistant's name?
Oh, damn.
That's going to bother me.
Me too. Tiffany? No.
No. Maybe she's still running things. Should I look at
Shannon.
Shannon.
Hey, Shan. Anyway, who knows what Shan's doing, but does she have a turtle to sell? I don't know. We'll see. So as she's setting everything up, Moira walks in to invite her to a celebratory lunch because Johnny is surely going to come back with good news. As we'll find out later, he's out pounding the pavement, trying to secure a loan for the business. She says, you know, we're going to celebrate for lunch and I'm supposed to invite you. And when she sees what Alexis has brought home, she says, tell me that's not a test, Judine.
What is that?
And Alexis says, no, it's a turtle. Well, it's Stephanie. New vocabulary. Testudine is a turtle.
Is that literally like the genus species?
It is. It's just like what they say. I don't know what it's called. I looked it up yesterday. Testudine, turtles, reptiles. Oh, yes, it's the order. Turtles are an order of reptile known as testudine.
Okay.
So tell me it's not a testudine. And she is just mortified that it is, in fact, a testudine.
Oh, my gosh.
And she says, turtles do not pet snake. She's talking like Yoda now. And said they're just riddled with diseases. You might as well have tied Elise to a raw chicken cutlet. Another zinger. I love that line. Mm-hmm. You may as well just tie Elise to a raw chicken cutlet. And it's true. Turtles are ridden with salmonella. I looked this up as well because I wasn't sure. Because I know a lot of kids go through turtle phases and have turtle tanks and stuff.
Well, just
and,
like all that like stagnant water and
And it says
microbiomes.
Like, you touch the turtle, they have salmonella, the water, etc. So Moira is not wrong. I would not want a turtle. I feel like it would smell also.
Oh, yeah.
Just my personal opinion. So Alexa says, well, say hi to Ted. And Moira thinks we're Skyping again and doesn't see the computer. She says, no, I named the turtle Ted. So Alexis is creating this shared experience with Ted. She's got to handle this long distance relationship somehow, which we don't know at this point how far into this extra month we are. Right.
Like
we knew she was a month off, but were we a week in or just a couple days? So what is she's still going to the Galapagos. Who's going to take care of this freaking turtle when she leaves?
Maybe she's going to take it to the Galapagos and try to set it free.
Release him into the wild.
Right?
I feel like that's a terrible idea. So Moira explains, Alexis, if you guys can't handle this little break, you'll be fine, or you should be fine. The key is having as little in common as possible. Saying after a trilogy of decades, she and Johnny still surprise each other. This is not the first time we've heard this advice, nor will it be the last this season.
Do you think that is sound advice? That you should have as little in common as possible?
Honestly, I think other than our love for travel and our cats, I think Joe and I don't have a ton in common.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people would think he's goofy and I'm more serious and opposites attract. So, yeah, I do think not having a lot in common could be a good, he listens to heavy metal. He has no interest in working out, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of things that we're not in common on. So I think that's sound advice. You?
Yeah, I would agree. I think we're pretty different. There's certain interests we have that overlap, but our life experiences have been drastically different, which
is
part of what I love most about our relationship, because he's constantly surprising me with stories that I'm like,
I feel you're going to be learning so much.
That's going to be the rest of my life. And that excites me a lot. So I would agree to some extent. I think you need to match on ethics and morals, and maybe have a
interest. Of course.
But good not to be a clone of the person.
Yeah. When we started dating, Joe was a solid Republican and I was not. So there's that too. I have definitely converted him over to the good side, obviously.
As Beyonce said, to the left, to the left.
Everything I own, including my husband, is to the left. Yeah. He's definitely come full circle on politics. We just don't talk about it with his family. That's all.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you're going to be learning a lot. That reminds me too, when Crystal and Dan were visiting last weekend, and he's from England. We've talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. And they were arguing over something. I can't remember what the word was. Oh, they were arguing over miles versus kilometers, because Crystal mentioned something about how far she wanted to run one day or the next day. And Dan just couldn't give her an answer in miles, which in our mind here, miles is how we function.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan was like, well, it's just as easy to do it in kilometers because we run 5Ks, et cetera, et cetera. And you and I talked about the confusion in miles and kilometers. And me and my friend Kate were just observing. And I said, oh, look, the first, or somebody said, Kate said, oh, is this your first married fight? Or Joe said that. I said, no, this can't be the first. Like, they're already 2 weeks in. They must have thought about something before this. And Kate said, this is going to be your fight your entire life over miles versus kilometers, because now you've gotten married. So that won't be a surprise for them.
For us, it's Celsius and Fahrenheit. I'm like, what's the temperature? And he's like, 13 degrees. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
That's another one.
That
means same idea.
To me.
Yeah. So your life will be full of surprises, but also distance and temperature conflicts as well.
Totally.
They use kilometers in India, right?
Oh, yeah, they do. Everywhere except America, basically.
But I was Dan said, no, they use miles when it comes to driving. Like, then what's the problem? Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Like, then what's the problem, Dan? Because when they run, it's still listed in kilometers. And that's what they were talking about. So anyway, Moira does give sound advice. Have as little in common as possible. And Alexis passes on the lunch. She says she's got to feed Ted some pellets and put him down for a little nap. And Moira says, sexy.
Ooh.
And as we're closing, Alexis sniffs and gags on the pellet smell.
Oh, yeah.
So then later on, not sure how much time has passed, but apparently Alexis has had time to want to go to the cafe and is now back to the cafe. She wanders in looking around for something, and it becomes clear that she lost Ted, the turtle.
She brought the turtle to the cafe.
Why would you take a turtle? Apparently he slipped out of her purse while she was there earlier today. And Twyla is in a panic. I hope you're joking, because they're actually a huge health hazard. You don't take a turtle for a walk, Alexis. This is not the domesticated pet you want it to be.
No. Although, Katie, I was at, where was I? The Goodwill last week. And I've been doing some like wedding thrifting. And a woman's getting out of the car and she has one of those bubble backpacks that cats go in.
Oh, my God.
But I'm like, where's the cat? There was a bird in the backpack.
That's
she was taking her bird to Goodwill.
That's unnecessary.
Like, you don't travel with your bird. It was like a little bird too.
I see a lot of TikToks of traveling cats and it makes me really jealous. Mm-hmm. People that go kayaking with their cat or mountain hiking with their cat. And I'm like, why don't I have those cats? Mm-hmm. But I would be terrified to lose them.
I know. Or like, what if I fell and they got hurt and they were stuck in the bag? Yeah.
Cats and too dogs risky. To me are the only domesticated. Like, we don't need all these other animals.
Totally. They're enough. Two species are enough.
Twyla's in a panic because this turtle might be wandering around the cafe. Fair. That's very fair. And comments on how, my mother had a turtle dove once. In one of her other disturbing stories that was eaten by her ex-fiance's snake on Valentine's Day. And Alexis is just kind of despondent over this whole thing. She thinks it's a terrible sign, like the literal slowest animal in the world got away on her. What does that say about her ability to keep up this relationship? Mm-hmm. And she's just having a moment here and she misses Ted. And once again, fairy godmother Twyla in for the save. We've talked about how she's kind of a fairy godmother to Alexis.
Yeah.
And she comes in with the old absence makes the heart grow fonder adage and says, you know, this is just a rough patch and you'll probably wind up being closer than ever after all this is over. And it's true. I think that people come out stronger from this is a trial and a tribulation and you come out stronger on the other side. But Alexis has never had a real relationship like this where she's had to endure this, you know?
Nope, she hasn't.
So just a quick little visit to her fairy godmother to perk her up. And she says, if you see Ted, just feed him a carrot and give me a text. anyway, then later that night, she's back at the motel, still looking for this damn turtle, leaving a trail of lettuce to get him out of hiding.
Popping romaine everywhere. Yeah.
And there's a little knock at the door and this creepy looking limo driver is at the door and says, Mr. Mullins has arranged a ride for you, blah, blah, blah. And she's in her pajamas already. And she says, well, how do I know this isn't an abduction? And he just says, deadpan, it's not an abduction.
Did you get
in the car with this?
Well, this is her response is, I believe you. Tells us everything we need to know about how she got into all those crazy scenarios. She's got
these lie detector skills. Yep.
That she has these wild stories from her past.
Yep. This is how it happened. This is how it happened. So he didn't blink or whatever was her gauge on that. So she said, I believe you. I'll be out in 5. Not in a million years do I think this whole look took her only 5 minutes.
No.
But she then arrives at the cafe and it's privately set for a party of 2. And Twyla is there to greet her with a bottle of wine and says, your other guest is already seated. And she has the laptop and Ted has set up a personal Skype date.
So much.
I gotta say, I think that we were all just slightly disappointed that it was a Skype date, but like, how would he get there from the Galapagos, you know?
But I think it's still like incredibly romantic. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you have to adapt to your circumstances. And this would become like a core memory in the relationship
for sure.
They got through this rough time.
Crystal and Dan started dating during COVID and their first Valentine's Day, they had to do virtual. So they ordered each other food and got it delivered and then did a Zoom date similar to
That's so cute.
Yeah, you just have to adapt. You're right. It would be a really good memory. So they have their little date and they cheers with a little glass of wine and Ted says he's kind of hot. It's very hot there. He's got a dress shirt and tie on top, but just flip flops and swim trunks on the bottom. And she says, oh, more about your bottom half, please. And he says, Twyla's not still there, is she?
She totally
Hi, Ted.
Is.
She waves in the background. Man, they can't get any privacy this episode, but she takes the hint. She said, well, I have to serve you dinner, but I'll stay out of your way. And they boop each other and there's a little romantic music playing in the background. It's just a cute little end.
I did my rewatch. Like, I could have seen this being the end of the episode. Like, it's just such a cute fade out.
Me too.
Enjoying this cyber date.
We do come back. So that's just the end of that quick little storyline. Finally, we're going to end off at the grown-ups Like I said, Johnny and Roland, Johnny took the car today. And the reason why is they're out pounding the pavement, trying to get funding for the new motel that they want to buy from Betty Terpstra.
He wants to move forward with or without Steve.
Yeah, basically. They're ready to go. They're sitting in this bank office and Roland is in his fancy leather jacket, as he always is for an important occasion. They're kind of fidgety and nervous, but Johnny seems confident nonetheless. Yes. He says, I think we're going to be able to move forward even without Stevie in our, you know, in our back pocket. And, you know, Roland alludes to the fact that she abandoned them, but she didn't. I mean,
no,
she gave him a heads up and she's doing her own thing. So the woman comes back in. She's really excited. The proposal is excellent, but deflation because they don't have enough assets to secure the loan.
Nope.
This seems like just a bit of paperwork that could happen here to me. Like, why can't Stevie just come and co-sign with them? She doesn't have to be involved. She just has to back the loan, right? Seems like.
But does she, but we also don't know if she, not that she doesn't have faith in Johnny, but like, if she wants to be involved with this.
Like, tie up all of her assets in this situation and whatever. All right. So Roland tries to sweeten everything and says, well, did I mention he's the mayor? Yeah. You mentioned it several times, it seems like. And oh, did I also mention I went steady with your mom? Mentioned that too, obviously. It brings us back to season one with the unemployment office.
I know, that's what it made me think of too.
So this time the sweet talking isn't working. And also, gross, if you went steady with my mom, I don't really care. I don't want to know about those details.
Please leave. So
no bad news for the boys, no loan for them. They head back to the cafe for the celebratory lunch with Jocelyn and Moira, and they have to relay the news, the bad news to the wives. Well, Johnny's relaying it and Roland's repeating it, basically. So he is disappointed and says, you know, this will probably set them back some time of getting out of here. I should mention, too, Moira mentioned in the previous scene with Alexis that she said, you know, she was expecting him to come back with good news. And that's going to really get the ball rolling on our imminent departure from this place. So, again, Moira focusing on leaving town, but.
Yeah,
Johnny says, you know, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm really sorry.
Years, maybe.
A year or two, I think. Yeah. And Moira's just so despondent over this and grasping at straws and says, certainly there's some Pennywise town person with a rainy day fund we can tap into, someone who would want to invest. And lo and behold, Bob is sitting over there at the counter. And just a few seasons ago, Bob was all about investing in a business. Mm-hmm. And this business actually has a plan, a business plan, and a solid, you know, path. Whereas the previous one he was willing to fork over money for was just a bubble of an idea for bagels with a guy who worked in a stone quarry who's going to bake for you. So this is a great idea. And Roland says, you know, I don't want to be the town gossip, but I did see his financial statement and the garage is doing well. How the frick do you
see? Why are you looking at his
nosy? Yeah. And you know, Jocelyn perks up and says that makes sense because Gwen's been wearing these fancy workout clothes to rehearsal and I buy the knockoffs and those aren't cheap. So the real ones must be real expensive. Mm-hmm. And obviously, too, Bob is raking in the dough because he goes to pass by and he is in the hides of a herd of Holstein, as Moira puts it. And he is in a full leather suit with lace up pants. I cannot imagine the discomfort. I would never in a million years wear this.
You know that episode of Friends where Ross has the leather pants that he gets stuck in?
Yes.
I think of that every time I see someone wearing leather pants.
Yeah. It's he's kind of in a hurry because he had two cups of coffee and has to unlace these pants and they take forever. But also, on top of the lacing, just peeling them off your body is going to be a problem. Like, I don't like leather is so confining, you know? So Jocelyn mentions they're having dinner with them tonight. Let's do this. Let's reel in this big fish and get an investor out of the two of them. Bob and Gwen are coming over. And so now we are back at the Schitt's house later that night. Moira is a look in this scene. This outfit, she is dressed to the nines. Shiny top, shiny belt, green wig, short-haired wig. She's like attack. She's on the attack mode, I feel like, in this outfit. Magenta lipstick. I love her lipstick color. Bob and the boys are all sitting at the table. Bob and Johnny and Roland are sitting there. And Roland is, of course, buttering him up, saying how much he likes his suit and making comments about, oh, someone's got some money. And just, you know, being Roland.
Yeah.
And Bob says something about, oh, we don't need to wait for Gwen. We can just eat without her. And Johnny says, you know, we should wait for Gwen because, you know, he obviously recognizes this is going to be a financial decision. And most mm-hmm. people make these financial decisions with together. Their significant yeah. other. And Moira sits down and Jocelyn brings the food. They're having sloppy Jocelyns for Din Din. Is this the second time we've heard of sloppy Jocelyns?
I feel
right?
like
we've
it
heard
is.
This before.
Yeah.
And sloppy Jocelyns for Din Din. Moira, I don't know if you recognize, she was carrying this humongous salad bowl from the kitchen. Then she doesn't set it on the table. She sits it on the stool behind Jocelyn. So they're not even going to eat this. And it is the biggest salad bowl I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, no, that's hilarious. I didn't catch that.
So they sit down and name dropping. The roses are name dropping. Oh, did you have time to talk to Bill and Melinda Gates? Moira throws in Gates.
That Bill and Melinda. Yeah.
They're not even a thing anymore.
They aren't. No.
Yeah. About the investment. And they're just dropping all these buzzwords and names. And Bob perks up, you know, Bill Gates. And truth comes out because if you know Bill Gates, that would be awful helpful because I might need a loan. And Gwen isn't coming because she left him. And ba-dum-bum, the shoe that we've all been waiting to drop since
for
season one has
years.
Dropped.
Yeah.
And all he can think about is how much money he spent on this leather suit because Gwen said she liked the Bad Boys. And now she's holed up in their house with a pastor.
This is the pastor from like
it's
Carl's funeral.
Yes. Because they were friendly. Yeah. Jocelyn says, well, she was bragging about her religious experience. Uh-huh. But
clearly.
He's got no money, man.
No.
So he says, they're going after the house. I spent so much money on this suit. I guess the business must not be doing that well. Did Roland misread what he saw? Also, what about their cabin? Can they sell that and split it? Also, when you get divorced or split up, everything is pretty much 50-50 in most places.
Unless they had like maybe a prenup or something.
They may have had a prenup. Gwen's like that. So
yeah,
things are looking dismal at this dinner. Everyone's balloon is deflated and... Totally. Roland, of course. Well, let's eat. Digs into the sloppy Jocelyns. So next is the very last scene in the motel. This is our closing scene and the closing to this storyline as well. So Johnny comes in. He was outside on a phone call, I guess. And Moira is kind of brainstorming ideas. Well, what about Ronnie? She has a business and no kids and clearly doesn't spend a lot of money on herself. The no kids and owning a business is a perk. That's an asset, right? That might be a good investor. And Johnny's just destitute. And he says, the motel is sold. I just got off the phone with Betty Terpstra and it's over basically. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he'll look for another property, not quite as expensive, et cetera, et cetera. And Moira says, hold me. All she can still think about is that the fact that they're not getting out of here now. Yeah. This was their ticket out, and now it's, you know, getting sidelined. She says, good has coming. It has to. And then just as she says that, there's a persistent knock at the door that knocks about seven too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And the shits are outside, and they're holding a bottle of champagne. And Johnny, first of all, I don't know what they thought they were celebrating. If they didn't bring the news, they thought they did, but Johnny seems like he was expecting them, and he says, thanks guys, but it's not a good time. Jocelyn perks her head in and Moira's in bed. She says, oh good, you're laying down, we have some news. And they bought their way into the room. And also, when Johnny said now's not a good time for champagne, speak for yourself. There's never not a good time for champagne, Johnny,
right?
But the news comes out and the shits bought the motel.
Yes.
Betty Terpstra sold the motel to Roland and Jocelyn Shit. They took out a second mortgage on their house.
Who advised them to do that?
Who advised them to do that? Also, did they not have a cabin? Wouldn't two houses or properties be enough collateral?
I mean, we've seen their house.
So this entire time, Roland's name wasn't even involved, when I feel like that could have been an option too. But if the Roses can do this by themselves with a second mortgage on their house.
Yeah.
Then they obviously have some assets, and now they're business partners officially.
Right.
Well, if that's not cause for alcohol, then I don't know what is, Moira says.
Right.
But they're so excited. Johnny's so excited. He is so excited. And as I was taking notes for this, I got emotional taking notes for this scene when Johnny hugs Roland in this big, true friendship hug.
Yeah.
Thanking him, like, cannot believe what he has done. Mm-hmm. Because Johnny still essentially has nothing and Roland has, you know, his house and his life and whatever. So sincere and a great moment of friendship.
Also shows you how, like, the shits are so excited, but also shows you how much they actually, as much as Roland dogs Johnny, they believe in Johnny and his idea.
Well, and the other thing I didn't mention, the line I didn't say, well, if it's good enough for Bill and Melinda Gates to invest in. So they were buying those pickup lines.
True.
So, but you're right, though. I think they do have faith. And even Johnny says, while he's hugging them, he knows what a serious thing this is for them to do. And he promises they will make this work. This will work, right?
Yeah.
And I just got kind of butterflies or just warm and fuzzy feelings because six seasons ago, the very first scene in this motel room with Ronnie and Jolyn, Johnny and Roland, Johnny was saying, would you get the fuck out? And now they're literally best friends starting a business together. Like, what an emotional turn of events. I just got so emotional over it. Yeah. So, and that's it. That's where the episode ends. The motel business is going. We're going.
Johnny has a path forward.
And Moira has her ticket out of here, apparently.
Apparently.
So we're going to see more of that. But I loved that the show ended with that. That it was like a really good, you know, bookend to that whole friendship.
That's good. I still like the little virtual date is one of my favorite Alexis and Ted scenes. I think it's just so sweet and romantic. And yeah, I love it.
Good episode. So that's it. That was not too long today. We talked a lot about airlines, but I was gonna do a would you rather, but we already talked about it. I wanted to know which option you would take of the child on the plane or the complimentary alcohol. But I do have one singular trivia question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
How did Larry acquire Larry Air?
Larry owned a bunch of delis that he sold to buy a bunch of planes.
I can tell you knew that one.
Oh, that to me is such like a...
You
like,
studied that one.
That is such a hilarious pivot.
Yeah, that was the only question I had written down. So yeah,
that is a good... I was worried you were going to like ask me the names of who else got asked to leave with David.
Oh, wait. No, I had one other one. Oh, I see it. I saw it in my notes. What was the name of the bank that Johnny and Roland looked for funding at?
It's Avid Trust, which we've been there before.
Okay. Just making sure.
When David was trying to get some money out.
PIN number.
The PIN number.
You don't have to say number. It's just PIN.
My dad, who has no money, please.
Oh, boy. All right. What's happening next week, Stephanie?
Next week we kind of see some wedding planning as far as what the guys might be wearing to their wedding and also who, if anyone, is going to be in their wedding party. There's a little confusion about that. Roland and Johnny jump into their new motel location and they find remnants of maybe a squatter situation. And the trailer for the Crows movies is released. So that's also
That's next week, too. That is exciting. Oh, I'm excited.
So busy week ahead.
This week, we need to talk about all about airline experiences.
Yes.
Let's first of all, I want people to.
What's your favorite airline?
Like we did, rate them. We should make a list. Can people. Is that a thing on Instagram where you can just drag and move the things? Like rate your favorite.
We could maybe do like heat.
1 to 10 or something. Yeah. Airlines, bad airplane experiences, people behaving badly, you behaving badly, better not be you.
But if it is, tell us about it.
Tisk tisk. Anyone you know on a no-fly list because of bad behavior. So.
How do you feel about turtles?
Turtles and domesticated pets.
Yeah.
Should everything be domesticated? Turtles, birds, snakes, rats, etc.
Nope. The answer is
no. The rats. So lots of good topics this week, I think. So
turtly.
Turtly. But I'm bummed. Stephanie with the pun. That's very Ted Mullins of you, Steph.
Very.
Well, thank you for listening to us tonight, guys. We got a little segue down the airline talk, but obviously we're both passionate about travel, so it's a big topic for us. So, and we're looking forward, Steph, to more wedding updates coming up, but we've got you on the calendar.
It's official.
All right, guys, until next week, best wishes.
Warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.